Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Chof Beis, and we're going to start from daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis, six lines up from those wider lines, right at Remesharsha Mitusanya. So Remesharsha Mitusanya sent a question to Rav Papa. Can you please give us a psak, Ilam Deinu Rabbeinu? What would be the din of an extension that hasn't been discussed? And that was an extension of the Eshet Achia Vihaav. Now, we have been talking about the din of a father's sister and a father's brother's wife, but the question is, what about the father's father's sister? And what about the father's father's brother's wife? Now, the father's own sister and the father's own brother's wife is usher that we know. That's all included. But what about the dinim of a generation up? Should we go one generation up and we should say that that is also usur? Do we say midlamata erva? So since the generation below in exactly that case, it would be the father's own sister. So that's your auntie, the father's brother's wife. That too is your auntie. So maybe your grandfather's sister and your grandfather's wife, maybe that would also be a sister, your grandfather's brother's wife. That would also be an auntie, great auntie. And on the other hand, I could say that normally, milamata erva lamala nami erva, in the sense of the gezer of shnia, so lamala nami gozerbe. Or shall we say, that in this particular case, we won't do this, because Dilma ha is palig darata. Since over here, the relationship is no longer, can even though the partial words mean it palig darata, that you have an additional door, right? Now, that cannot be what it means. That would be ridiculous, because all of the cases that we had of the shnias are additional door. I mean, that was good for the question, whether we should do what we normally do, which is to extend the door. But the idea over here is that we know it's no longer viewed as something that is direct in the Dorot, because it has spread out now into the fraternal relationships of another Dor. That's not the same thing as being gozer, a direct relationship. So that's the question. Do we do that extension into fraternity also on previous doors? And we say, no, I mean, in a different door already, we stop worrying about that kind of thing because we don't see it as directly related. So that's my question. Says Rav Papi, I'll tell you, I think it's very simple. I mean, we said yesterday, Toshma, Ma'in, Shniot. So we listed like these eight cases that we had. How come we ignored these cases? Obviously, because they are not meant to be included. So what's your question? Eight means eight. No, says the Gemara, it's not true. What do you mean eight means eight? We know that there are cases that haven't been listed. Tana v'shir. Well, what other cases do we know that have been listed? That haven't been listed. My shir, thy shir. Well, we're going to see right now. We've got six additional cases of the Tana v'Rebbe Yechia. So, I mean, it doesn't list those either. So what's the problem not listing these? No. That's for sure not a proof. So actually, a Maimar, he said the halacha is that these two cases are mutter. So he was machshir b'eshet achi avi aviv, a grandfather's brother's wife and a grandfather's sister. He said those are not included. Amalei Rav Hillel l'Rav Ashi. So Rav Hillel said to Rav Ashi, who apparently was on that side, meaning he also agreed with a Maimar that it's mutter. And he said, I don't see how you guys could claim that it's mutter. I could tell you, look, I'm not so smart to remember every detail, but I know that I saw a list of shnias that was made by Mar Berei de Rabana. And there were 16. Now, he had every one of them listed. 1, 2, 3, 4, went all through 16. Now, I don't remember. I wish I could remember it by heart, but I don't remember. But I'm asking you, you guys, try to reconstruct. How would we get 16? How could we possibly get 16? We had the eight that were our original eight that we discussed yesterday in that brayta, right? So those were the eight fundamental shnias. Then we're going to have an additional six by Rabbi Chiya that we just mentioned. We're going to talk about them in a couple of minutes. Okay, so that equals 14. But how would you get 16? I'll tell you how you get 16, by adding these two. Okay, that's the only way. You can't possibly get up to 16 unless you're going to admit that these two are usher, and you're claiming that they're mutter. So I say, I saw what he wrote. Uktivan shitzrei, he got up to 16, which could only mean my love is including the 8 in the Braita, the 6 of Rabchia, and these other two that we just talked about, the grandfather's sister and the grandfather's brother's wife equals 16. So you see that they are obviously included. Excuse me, but then there's 17. Because you forgot about the case of Eshet Achiha Eim Mina Eim. Remember we said that the Eshet Achiha Eim Mina Eim was also included later? And that was before the time of Ravana. And we were pushed that it's Osir, so now we've got 17. So how are you going to explain that? That says Rav Hillel, look, that doesn't bother me. The reason it doesn't bother me is because these two cases are basically the same case. So you're talking about the grandfather's sister or the grandfather's brother's wife. Well, they're exactly the same cases. We're going to answer them because the grandfather is basically, we're putting in the same position where if the door underneath your father would be usher, so the grandfather is usher. That's all it was saying. So that's just really one additional case. That's why it was only 16. You must have included these two as one. So these two, which are similar to each other, we could list as one, which still would give us 16, Vatshetza. But if you're not going to include either of the two cases that we just raised, so then there's no possible way for you to get 16. Because even if you would include the case that you said we added later, which was the common mother, the maternal sister of your mother's mother, but the point is you would still not get to 16, you would only get to 15. And v'omikom akom ledidi chazin ledikdiven leisura. I saw 16 cases. So fine, you're left with either 15 or 17. Then I can explain the 16. You can't explain it. Says Rav Ashi, okay. Fine, you saw 16. I have an interesting theoretical question for you, okay? Let's say that I would have brought you the list, right, of Ravana, Marbre Ravana, and it would have said in that list, Beferish, not like what you believe, okay? You believe that it's Usser. And I would say to you, how can you say that it's Usser? Here I have a Psak from Mar Breda Ravana that says that it's mut. Okay, tell me what your reaction would have been. I know what it'll be. I'll tell you what it would have been. You would have said, "Oh, another one of these phony letters from Eretz Yisrael." Right? Is he signed on it? I want to see his signature. That's what he would have said. You would have said, "Mi havi samachta alayo." You would have relied on it. You would have said, "Mar Breda Ravana mi chatim alayo." I don't see his signature with a hologram on this. I don't believe all of these garbage letters. Okay. So now we're going to bring a riot that it's usher. Now all of a sudden, yes, indeed, this is holy because you happen to believe that that's the psak. So now it's holy. Get out of here. So leave me alone, all right? So ashtanami dechtiva leyisura, so what? Lav mar bereda ravana chatimala. I didn't see any signatures. Okay. Anyway, you were talking about 6 additional cases. What are those 6 additional cases, which we refer to the sheet of Tana Devei Rabbi Chiya? Okay, so here are the additional cases. Tana Devei Rabbi Chiya, a third generation of a son and a third generation through a daughter. So in other words, let's take it down one more generation. A son's daughter. Okay, so son's daughter. Since your son's daughter is an Isser D'oraisa, which we saw that beferish. The granddaughters are us. We had the two sugyas, whether mina onasin or mina nisuin. So your son's daughter is an erva. So mimela, your son's own son's daughter is an erva. Right. And also the same thing is true of a third generation of a bat. Your daughter's son's daughter. Obviously, it's not referring to your daughter's daughter because that, we know, is actually a d'oraisa. Okay, but your daughter's son's daughter, yes, that was not included. So we're going to add that. So your daughter has a son, has a daughter, and there we're going to include it. So that gives us 2 additional And this is, we're calling, now note, this is important to note. We're calling this a third generation, which means that we are not including that the issue of here, Ben Ishto, the Bat Ishto. We're talking about a third generation of your wife's son. In other words, your wife's son's daughter is the Uriza. Your wife's son's daughter is included as a Shnia. Now, we're calling that a third generation. Why are we including a third generation? Because we're not including the wife, right? So we're talking about wife's, not counted. Sons is one, sons is two, and his daughter is three. That's three generations. The problem is that the next word refers to the generations counting your wife as the first generation. That's the problem. Look at this. And Revi, a fourth generation, through your father-in-law, that is also included, and a fourth generation through your mother-in-law. So in other words, your father-in-law's mother's mother. That's four generations from your wife. Your wife, father-in-law, mother, mother. Four generations. But a minute ago, when we counted down from your wife, we did not include your wife as a generation for some reason, right? And the same thing is true of your mother-in-law, your mother-in-law's mother's mother. Okay, because in both of those cases, if it would be your father-in-law's mother or it would be your mother-in-law's mother, those are also Midiraisa, because that would be Isha Ubat Bina or Isha Ubat Bita. Fine. So we're adding one more generation and we're including the wife in that generation. Those two women are also a Shnia. So Ravina asks Ravashi on the structure. I don't understand the language here. When we were going up a generation through your father-in-law's mother and your mother-in-law's mother's mother and all of that, we called it a fourth generation, which meant that we included your wife in the first generation, and this got up to four. But when we were talking at the beginning, we're talking about going down a generation, we did not include your wife. We called it a shlishi. Now, it's the same relationship from what I can see in terms of the number of doros, and yet it did not include your wife. How do you explain that? Well, this is much very simple. All of the discussion of the cases going up were only discussions of in-law relationships, your father-in-law's mother's mother and your mother-in-law's mother's mother, right? So, I mean, the only way I have an in-law relationship is obviously by having a wife. So because of that, the Tana included the wife as the first step because it was a necessary step to create the erva. But Masha Einkein, where we're going down, and that first discussion of going down didn't involve your wife. It involved your own son's daughter, right? So son's daughter's daughter. So, okay, so there, why should we include your wife? It's not Mikoach Ishto. So if it's not coming Mikoach Ishto, that's your son's daughter and your daughter's son's daughter. So there it's related to you. So I don't have that extra step. So obviously we're not going to include her. Wait a minute. But it also says your wife's son's daughter and your wife's daughter's son's daughter. That is through your wife. And you still called it only third generation. And that it definitely is only because you married this woman. And the Yisurim Mikach Ishto Ka'ati and let Loka Chashivla. Why? That doesn't bother me. I mean, because once we started with three generations, direct generations from you, without talking about your wife, and we called it third generation, we're not going to change our language to include exactly the same case. Remember, it's basically the same pasuk, and in I shouldn't say the same pasuk, but the same words that talk about a man's son's son, a daughter, and a man's daughter's daughter, and his wife's son's daughter, and his wife's daughter's daughter. I mean, so once I started calling it a third generation, I call it Shlosh Adaris, Lamat Dida, and I don't include her. But when we're going up, it's only in terms of in-laws that Rabbi Chiya was adding, and therefore he needed to include the wife as generation one. That's fine. Omali Ravashi Le Rav Kahana. What I'd like to know is, we didn't discuss the issue of whether these things keep going up. Are they ad infinitum? In other words, no matter how many dorot beneath the son, and minit the daughter, you go. Are these included or were these single steps? Where we extended the issue, like we said, kaposik, we've got the buck stops here, discussion we had yesterday. What about the Rebbe Chiya Arayas? Are they buck stops here or are they forever? Atzov kol ha'olam. So yesh lo mefsek ve'en lo mefsek. Toshma. I forgot the press recorder. Toshma, diyoma rav, arba nashim, yesh lehem efsek. What do you want? We had yesterday. Remember, Rav said there's four. I have a Kabbalah that there's four that are only these, and that's the buck stops here. And then we said, I can only figure out three. And then Ravina came along and said, I'll tell you what the fourth. Rav Zera came along and said, what the fourth? Well, whatever. I mean, so it says, beferish. There's only four that yesh lehem efsek. So what's your question? No, what do you mean? Rav wasn't referring to Rabbi Chiya, was he? At the time that Rav made that comment, we only knew about the Braisa that had those original eight. We didn't talk about the additional 16. I don't know if Rav was referring to the total number of Shnias that don't have Efsek, or is referring to out of the eight four mentioned Shnias that we had in the original Braisa. I don't know. So maybe Dimakokom Rav was only going on that Braisa, Limat Nita. I want to know what the din is about Rabbi Chiya's. Well, I'll prove to you that they also, Yeshlam Hefsek, they don't go on forever. Because why else do we identify them by the generation? Third generation we start talking about. Fourth generation we talked about. We talked about the in-law relationships. I mean, doesn't that mean, and that's it? Fourth generation, and that's all? Or third generation, and that's all? That's why we bothered mentioning it, no? So Shlishi V'Revi, in, but more than that, Felo. I don't know. I mean, it certainly is reasonable to mention the generation just to remember where it starts. So maybe it means Mishli Shiva Elach, third generation and up is Usser, or and down, I really should say, or fourth generation and down is Usser. That's possible. So you can't prove it. Okay. So therefore, there would be maybe no Hefsek. Now, another question I have. We know that the Chachamim were gozer, the din of Arayas on Gerim. So that even though technically speaking, a Ger is not related to his mother, but nonetheless, he's not allowed to be married to his mother. So if he goes ahead and marries his mother, will force him to break up. So what I want to know is, does that mean that we were gozer the entire set of Arayas on Gerim, even including all of these Shnias, so that he can't marry his grandmother, his father, we'll talk about fathers don't count, but he can't marry his great-grandmother and so on. Does all of that apply, or is it only the Arayas or the Uraisa that would apply to a Ger? That's my question. So Chazimar, so Rava says to Rav Nachman, did you notice this guy came into the Beis Medrash today and he just arrived from Eretz Yisrael and he came up with the latest Shaila that they have in Eretz Yisrael. It's always exciting. The latest Shaila is, did they make a Gezer of Shnias on Gerim or not? So Rav Nachman said, this is ridiculous. Why did we make a Gezer on Gerim for Arayas? What do we care if he wants to marry his mother? She's not really related to him. So what's the problem? Because what we said was the actual Erva Gufa, if it wouldn't be that people will say, well, looky, looky, we goyim, we're very moral, and we would never sleep with our own mother, but this guy, the moment he became Jewish, now you see, you can do whatever the heck you want. So these Jews, they're not nowhere near as moral as we are. So, okay, so in order that people shouldn't make that comment, that people say, see, boy me kedusha chamura le kedusha kala. Now, the way to get out of any kind of chumras is to become a Jew. So because of that, we ossered the arayas. But the goyim don't have the shnias. So why should we osser the shnias? It doesn't make any sense. Nobody's going to say, well, we don't marry the shnias. Of course you do. So, okay. So then because of that, we won't osser them. So the other, if it wouldn't have been for that, lo gozer b'rabbanan, shnias me boy. So there's no basis at all to ask that question. Omer of Nachman. Okay. But once you brought up the issue, I would like to point out that there is a major difference between the inyanim of Arias that we're talking about over here, and the inyanim of the technicalities of relationships that have to do with testimony. Because remember, we need to establish the relationships in terms of Arias. Obviously, that's what we've been doing for the past 3 days. But there's also an entirely different issue of relationships, which is who is considered to be a korev that is prohibited from giving testimony or for being a judge on somebody else. Now, that also is defined by relationships. So, I mean, the truth is we have three major sugyas. One is inheritance, one is edus, and the other one is relationships. Those three things have to be, go ahead and define what we mean by kirva. So it says Reb Nachman, so I just want to make sure nobody makes a mistake over here. I mean, once we came up with this thing, I want to just make it clear. Name of Bahumilta. So when you're talking about Achim Min Ha'em, we're talking about Achim Min Ha'em, Goyim have relationships that are defined by maternal relationships. When it comes to paternal relationships, we don't view those relationships being meaningful at all. And that's basically like the pasuk says, zirmat susim zirmatam. So we consider the relationship from common mothers, where first of all, you know who a mother is. And secondly, the entire idea of relationships through mothers is much more defined than the absurdity of relating people through the toss of the die of 100 million sperm. I mean, that's crazy. Okay, so I understand this mother carried those two ova her whole life, and this was her. And these one of these became boy one, and one of these became boy two. They're both goyim, and they both became Jewish. So we're saying, okay, but they're not related to each other, technically speaking. Fine, but the question is, we said, what about legabe testimony? So they come into court, and they testify. They want to testify about something that has to do with their brother, their maternal brother. So lechatchila, we do not accept that. But if we find out that they were related after they gave testimony, then we will accept that testimony. And the testimony was certainly good. On the other hand, if they only share a father, supposedly share a father, so achim min ha'av mi'idin lechatchila, they are not related at all. So now, The Maimar says, I disagree. I say even brothers from the same mother are able to give lechatchila, not only bidyavad. So why is it that everybody seems to agree that when it comes to Arias, we're going to be more machmir, and we're going to treat them as if they are related, but when it comes to the dinim of kirav and bezdin, legabe edus, there we are make a why? So well, it's obvious, isn't it? Erava lekol misura. And Edus lebezdin misura. So when it comes to Arias, if people see us justified, they don't necessarily know like the whole story. They just see a guy that is married to someone that's usher. So I don't know. Maybe they'll be matrit for Yisrael too. Masha Inkain, if he comes in and testifies about his sister. Over there, Bezdin's not going to make the mistake of thinking, oh, well, if we allowed a testimony in the previous generation of Mr. So-and-so to his own sister, they're going to say, therefore, let's allow it from a Jewish, born Jewish brother to a sister. They're not stupid. They know that a ger is considered to be a completely new creation. And you don't have to worry about them making those kind of mistakes. So therefore, when it comes to Bezdin, a Bezdin knows the story. And when it comes to general way people see, they don't know anything. So because of that, if Edus is the Bezdin Misura, and they know that a ger shenit gayer, katan shenola dami, there will not be any mistake. Now, Tosis points out, oh, wait a second. A moment ago, we said that the reason that we created the Isser of Erva on Goyim was because people would say, Bo mi Kedusha Kala la Kedusha Chamura, and like Chamura la Kedusha Kala, and now we're saying it's because people might get mixed up. I mean, which one is it? You didn't say that before. So basically, there, as Tosis points out, there are two different sets of Arias that need to be covered by different reasons. Only those Arias that are held up by the Goyim, we're going to say, are Bo Mikedusha Chamura la Kedusha Kala. And as far as the other Arias are concerned, where they're not knowing among the Goyim themselves, for that we need another Svara that people may end up getting confused. And now we have a moment of our Capitan, who's got the co-pilot right there, and he's going to do a good job. Now, we want to know, what is the relationship of the level of genealogical recognition? And note that this is just what we just brought up now. When it comes to Gerim, that is the question of whether the halacha recognizes the genealogy or not. Well, I mean, there's other cases where we may recognize it, but you wish we wouldn't. So let's say we have a case of mamzerim. I mean, so what are we going to say? Is a mamzer a real child? Is a mamzer a real brother? I mean, do we say to this woman, we obviously don't say to this woman, go get yibum from a mamzer. We already said that before, because if there's an issur, you get chalitza, not yibum. Okay, I understand that. But is a brother who is a mamzer, is that considered to be a brother that is genealogically connected to the point where he is a proper yava, and that will be mechayver to get chalitza? Or is he not recognized as a real brother because of the breakdown in the acceptance of that genealogy? So you could see how it flows directly, which so often comes from the question before, directly into this. And of course, the same issue will be true. Suppose you have a brother who is a goy. So your father also impregnated some goya somewhere. So is that considered to be a brother or not? And that would be a direct continuation from the sugya that we just had. So therefore, it says the Mishnah like this. Mi sheyesh lo ach mikol makom, someone who has a brother of any kind, is zokeket eshet achiv liyibum. So he is going to make it necessary to give chalitz, even though it says yibum, it means the mitzvah of yibum, which obviously will not be addressed in the case that he's a mamzer by the act of yibum. It will be addressed by chalitz, like the Mishnah said before. Fine, but that's not what it means over here. It means zokek. Zokek means you're going to have to deal with it. Okay, so I'll deal with it with chalitza. And it doesn't matter. And not only that, achivu l'chol davar, he is 100% considered to be a brother. We do not consider his question of legitimacy of the relationship to be meaningful at all. We only look at the actual shared genes, and we don't care how those genes happen to get shared. And therefore, the mamzerah status is irrelevant to any of these halachas. The Gemara is going to explain later on what we mean, l'kol davar, meaning for what? Can you tell me what everything means? Now, this is true unless we're talking about a brother who was actually fathered by your same father, but the mother was either a shivcha or an ovedet kochavim. So over there, it breaks down. There, the genealogy breaks down. The halacha doesn't recognize that to be your brother at all. So your brother from a non-Jewish woman is not considered to be your brother. The same thing is true in the other direction. A guy dies and he leaves a mamzer. So does that mamzer from another marriage, right? From another non-marriage. Okay. So now he's married to someone and he's got these little mamzerim in every port, right? So the question is, do these mamzerim pater the wife from yibum? She says, well, my husband's got 1,000 kids. What are you looking at me for? I'm supposed to be mityabem. And halacha is, yes, absolutely. Even one little mamzer is enough to pater his wife from yibum. And therefore, she's poter that case. Mishyesho ben mikobakom is going to pater his father's real wife from yibum. And not only that, but that mamzer is going to have to respect his father and will be chayev if he hits his father, is bekalal his father, he's going to be chayev misa, despite the fact that he is a mamzer. It will be no l'chol davar. We'll see what that refers to. Then this, he's 100% a son, unless chutz v'mishyesho bein min hashivcha o min overet kochavim, except if he doesn't have a recognized genealogy, as we said in the other case, so that he cannot be from a non-Jew. So either from a Goya or from a Shivcha Knanis, then it would not count at all. Okay, so then it's actually very interesting. that one, some of the Achronim bring halacha lemaisa, that this issue is really perhaps one of the hidden reasons that you do not do yibum bizman hazeh, because since people nowadays are much more likely to leave a little mamzer somewhere, you never know that you really have a brother who doesn't have any children. How many times do we find out that there's some kid somewhere or another, and therefore you would be being matir a eshes ach shelo b'bokam mitzvah to yibum, and therefore it's better to play it safe and only do chalitz, besides the other issues that we're going to see later on.
Anyway, let's take a look. A shopkeeper neighbor said his father, before he died, told him, you should know you have seven brothers in Damascus if you want to go visit, because when I was on a trip there, I got married and had a whole other family.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's not a family, but I'm saying this, I mean, this happened an awful lot in terms of the Holocaust, where people started new lives and never let on that they had a previous life because they just couldn't face it. And only afterwards it was discovered. It's like a whole other family, and they try to trace. I mean, it's not such an unusual situation, of course. I mean, I know many cases where parents, you know, let on before their death that they have kids, you know, to their kids, so that they should know that there's other kids. Anyway, so mikol makom, and so it says a brother of any type is your brother. So what does that mean? What's mikol makom? Says Rav Papa, it means to include even a mamzer, right? So he's going to be mechayev yibum. Well, why the heck not? I mean, since when did we see the Torah is interested in the legitimacy of the child, where it talks about the chiyav? He's his brother. And the Torah said to go ahead and give yibum to a brother. So why do I need to be taught that? Because remember, how did we find out one of the issues that we brought up when we were talking about? Is this a brother from the same father, or can it be a brother from the same mother? So we learned out from Bnei Yaakov, Achva, it says, Shneimasar Achim Anachnu, Bnei Avachat. Well, all of those Achim were actually Ksherim and not Mamzerim. So maybe we should say, just like the model Achim of Bnei Yaakov, or Ksherim Velo Psulim. So here too, we're talking about Ksherim Velo Psulim. Therefore, the Mishnah has to tell us, no, even psulim are included. Hey, wait a minute, you know, now that you pointed out, maybe that is what we should dash. So, ve'emar chinami. Why don't we, in fact, learn out from Bnei Yaakov that you have to be kosher? Because, kivan, I'll prove it to you. This is a beautiful proof. Kivan del inyan yibum miftar nipater. Look, let me ask you something. If this guy who died, Daniil, can you mute? If this guy who died had a child who was a mamzer, we are going to see later on, that was the next case in the Mishnah, and we're going to be able to prove that from a pasuk. So if he has a mamzer, then he does not need to have a wife who gets yibum. Why? Because the mamzer is considered to be the one who is the Al-Shem Achiv Hamet, right? That's what you're saying. You're saying, normally we want to make sure that there is a shame. And that shame, therefore, has to be taken up by your wife, right? But if that person who died has a son, then obviously he already has a shame. Fine. And we have a pasuk that tells us, if he has a son who's a mamzer, the mamzer supplies the shame. So if the mamzer can supply the shame, then the brother who's a mamzer also can supply the shame. And therefore, he is not going to be any different than the child who's a mamzer. So if he would have a child, it would have provided a shame for his brother. But we don't let him do that, because what we said before about Asadokhaloseser, and so on and so forth. But Lemaisa, it's clear that a mamzer is capable of providing a shame. There's your absolutely 100% clear answer. So because of that, miskak nami zakiki, therefore is mechayev the brother's wife to be mityabim, and continues the Mishnah, he is 100% a brother for all issues. What are all issues? Well, he's your brother in terms of the estate. So You're going to end up, if there's a situation where brothers don't have children, we know what happens. The Yerusha goes up one generation up to the grandfather, and then splits between the grandfather's children, which here is the father and his brother. But what if one of those brothers is a mamzer? Doesn't matter. So then that means that a mamzer is going to end up inheriting his brother because it'll go up through the grandfather. Well, that's also pushing. Oh, and also, if he's a Kohen and the brother doesn't want to be mitamei because he's a Kohen, we talk about it's your brother. And the Torah says, for a brother, you're mechuyev to be mitamei. And therefore, it includes also the dinim of avilut and so on. Well, isn't that obvious? I mean, if he has a din of a brother in terms of the mitzvah of Yibum, so why wouldn't he be a brother for this? No, I'll tell you, if the Mishnah didn't say that Achivu l'chol davar, I would have thought, Sagnat Ramina, Hol v'chtiv, doesn't it say when it comes to a coin being metame? So it says, Ki'im l'she'ero ha'karov elav, he can only be metame to a close to him relative. And we learn out from there that the close to him that we didn't mention before is she'ero in terms of ishto, shared flesh. And nonetheless, in that sugya of being mitame, it says, lo yitama ba'al ba'amav le'chalom, that a husband should not be mitame to someone, to a woman who is a chilul for him, which means, yesh ba'al she'mitame, v'yesh ba'al she'eno mitame. Meaning, okay, it's that. A husband should be mitame for the funeral of a wife who is kshera to him, but he's not allowed to be metame for a woman who is actually, let's say, a grusha. So she's a surah to him. So then maybe I would say the same thing would be true over here. We should learn from there that a kohen should be metame to a brother who is a brother who is kosher, but not be metame to a brother who is pasul, namely a mamzer. Therefore, the Mishnah tells us that that's not true, and that is ochi v'chol davar, even in terms of the kohen being metame. Oh. But wait a minute, that sounded actually pretty good. Maybe it's true. Maybe you should not be mitame as a kohen to a brother who is a mamzer. No, there's no comparison. Because in the case of the kohen who's married to a woman who is a surah to him, he's married to a grusha, you're going to say he should go to the wedding, he should go to the funeral. Let me tell you something. If he hadn't gone to the funeral, meaning she hadn't died, the police would have been there the day before and forced him to give her a divorce, right? Because he's mechuyev to be motzi, or Zebesin could have just forced him to give a divorce and beaten him at the, so now you should go to a funeral. Come on. So over there, la fuke kaima. So over there, she is meant to be divorced. But over here, what's he supposed to do? Resign his mamzeres. I mean, he is who he is, but he's your brother. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. Okay, continues the Mishnah. How do we know that? Well, we talked about the Ovedet Kochavim in terms of Ki Asir bin Chobi Acharai, we spoke about, and not Ki Tasir. What about the Shivcha Kananit? It says, Ha'isha v'yeladeha tihiyela adoneha. What is that supposed to mean? How can the children of that woman, the children of that woman are the children of an Eved Ivri, who is Jewish totally, right? So how can they belong to the owner? That's absurd. So because he owned the woman that incubated those children, so because of that, he gets to keep the children. That's nuts. Unless it really does not mean the children of the Eved Ivri. Well, but it is. No, it isn't. Because they're not related since the mother was a Shivcha. That's what you see from here. And if that's the case, that is not included in a brother's Bechayev or Patras from Yibam. Mishi Yeshlo Bain Mikomakom also patters. What does Mikomakom mean? Any kind of son. It even includes Amr of Yuda, Latuye Mamzer, which most parents think of their sons. So it even includes a Mamzer. And that is also going to patter his real wife from Yibo. Why is that? The Amar Kra Uben Einlo. Darshan that word ain lo to mean ayin lo. Look into it and see if you can get any kind of understanding of what might be in the furthest reaches of your imagination be called a son. Now, the question is, what is the drasha? Rashi understands that the drasha is from the fact that it says ein, that says written, ein with a yud. And ein does not need a yud because, as we find in many places, we have yatzachinam ein kesef without a yud. Or we have me ein yabmi without a yud, even in this sugya. Me ein bil'am lalechet iman. So that is all without a yud. So then that means that the yud is actually extra. So therefore, darshan the yud to say as if it's written ayin. Now, you must admit that that is very strange because, I mean, we've got all of these ains all over the place with a yud. It's almost only those few places where we have ain written without a yud. So the reason, so the Pnei Yoshua says, look, it's only because you have a mokum over here to make this, to make a drasha, because you need to define who the son is. So then we do this, but we wouldn't usually do this. Now, we have the same halacha by Ein Lo Snapir VeKaskeset that we just had last week's parsha, where we also darshan the ayin for strange cases where the fish will change later and drop its kaskeset and so on. So you see that we use ein in that way. Now, the Sma does not like that pshat at all because he considers the word ayin with an ayin to be confused with ein because we're talking about the chiluf of the groniot. So we're going to include the olive and the ayin as interchangeable. He does not seem to like that very much, and it is sort of far-fetched. And therefore, he says, look, it's very simple. The idea of ein is, when spelled with a yud, is ayin. Ayin means hayesh o ayin. So therefore, ayin is absolute nothingness, existential nothingness. So translated into a real-life situation, it means nothing, zero, zilch, nada, forget it, it's over. So therefore, it means make sure there isn't any possible hint of a something that would not, that would cancel out the ayin, which is very, very cute, right? Very, very cute. Now, there's the Aruch, of course, who looks into the word meanings of these things. So the Aruch has another fascinating analysis of the concept of the word ayin with a yud, because the idea of olive nun is enough to be no. But once you put in a yud, then you are inserting the Aramaic in, which is yes. So then that would mean it's, even if it's a very far-fetched yes, which borders on the no. Okay. So that's the way he understands it. But anyway, it's remarkable. It's not a pasha d'diuk, but nonetheless, this is the way we understand the mamzer's inclusion. Could he possibly be included? Then he's meant to be included. So that would be the ayin, and that's the reason that we're including the mamzer. And once we include the mamzer as the son, so now that means we're including the mamzer as the brother, because it means that such a son is considered to be making lo shem. Now, then you said that he's chayiv for hitting his father, cursing his father. I mean, his father couldn't be too frum, you know. I mean, how come he's fathering mamzerim? People who father mamzerim don't seem to be following the halacha, and doesn't it say, Krikan, Vinasi Ba'amcha lo Ta'or, from where we learn that the Isurim of Kolola or Hakoa refer only to Ba'ose Ma'ase Amcha. It's only where somebody is keeping mitzvahs. And this guy is not keeping mitzvahs. So why would you be chayev for hitting him? Kiryomra Pinchas Mishmeder of Papa. We're talking about a case where he did teshuva. Remember, this is referring to the mission we had. Remember, we talked about in Chagiga, Aganev gives back Kalim, and he says, don't worry, it's Tar. So we believe him because he was Oser Tshuva. That was Rupichas' Pshad. So that since he's handing it back to you, that's why we said that was the case. He was Oser Tshuva. So fine. He had the Mamzer 20 years ago. Meanwhile, he's done Tshuva, and he now is keeping mitzvahs. Now, this relates directly to the Sugya that we spoke about and Rosh yesterday, which is that, but what do you mean? How can you do teshuvah if he was Baala Erva v'Holid Mamzer? Exactly. So Rashi excludes the case of Holy Mamzer. And over here, the Gemara therefore asks, how could he do teshuvah? Doesn't it say, Shimi b'min asyom erehezu me'uvat lo yuchal itkon? Where is there something that you can't fix? Well, if you were sleeping with an Erva and you had a Mamzer, how are you going to fix that? Says, well, what does that have to do with tshuva? It's two different issues. You can't fix that. I understand. I mean, because you have a constant presence of that ovain. So you're not going to be able to be mitakein, but that doesn't mean you can't do tshuva. So by doing tshuva, he is now osa maizamcha. He's completely like anybody else. Fine. He's carrying around this burden of a badger on his back who looks remarkably like a mamzer. But anyway, so that he's going to have a problem with. Okay. But that doesn't change osa maizamcha in the least. Which is interesting, because if you weren't, this is something that we pointed out in Hilchos Teshuva, is that if someone doesn't do teshuva, then he is considered to be in the state of that chait. You see? Say somebody was once Mechal Shabbos. As a kid, it's a teenager, it's Mechal Shabbos, right? So now, he's now in his 70s. He's never been Mechal Shabbos again. He keeps Shabbos to a T. He's written Svarim on keeping Shabbos. He's created Shabbos groups in hundreds of cities and so on. So is he kosher for Eidus? No, he's not. Why not? Because he didn't do tshuva. He may have felt bad about it, and he may have made all of these Svarim about Hilchos Shabbos, and he might have been 100% the greatest Shomer Shabbos in history, but he's a Mechal Shabbos. Because in terms of his status is not defined by what he would like to be. His status is defined as whether he was able to remove the Chilul Shabbos by doing tshuva. That's the point. So if this guy is like, but he fathered a mamzer, but now he's so machpid on Arias, and he's like, wow, he won't even look at a passing woman three blocks away, and he walks around with a sefer in front of his face all day long, isn't that enough to make him osa maisa amcha? No, he would still have to do teshuvah. That's something else. Okay, and you have the question of whether it's sufficient to say shemahir tshuva belibo. That's already a big question. But certainly, the Gemara's kasha was well placed. So we were saying, as Rashi explains, the moment he does tshuva, he's osa maisa amcha. Anything else is irrelevant to us. None of our business that he's got a badger. Tana Rabba, haba al achoto. So now, what is the din of the definition of these arayas? And the reason that we are concerned with this particular situation is because we've got two areas where the Torah is very strange in defining the two particular states of arayas that have to do with marital relationships, meaning fraternal relationships that come of marriage and fraternal relationships that do not come of marriage, but that come only from shared genes. And this, of course, has been what our Mishnah introduced with this question of Mamzeris and so on. And that brings us to these fundamental questions, one of which we've already discussed. And that was, we had the question before of the difference between Isha Ubita and Isha Bat Bena, or your own Bat and your own Bat HaBen, and the question of Zima Zima, right? Asha Zima Zima, where how do we know that it even applies to both cases? Okay, so we had that at the beginning of the Masechet. But now we have the same question about fraternity, because we've got two completely different psukim. And listen clearly to these different psukim and see if you catch the nuance between them. These are two psukim, one almost literally after the other. Ervat achotcha bat avicha o bat imecha. Moledet bayit o moledet chutz lo tegale ervatam. So this is your sister, the daughter of your father or the daughter of your mother. Whether it's an illegitimate moledet bayit or moledet chutz, legitimate marriage, illegitimate marriage, you're not allowed to marry your sister. Now let's listen to the next pasuk that seems to be the same thing. Ervat bat eshet avicha, moledet avicha. Whoa. The daughter of your father's wife, who was impregnated by your father, achotcha, he is your sister, thanks a lot, obviously. Lo tegale ervatan. So what is that? I mean, it's two psukim saying exactly the same thing? Or is it really two psukim saying exactly the opposite? I mean, the first pasuk seems to say that if you have a relationship to a sibling, which is from either your father or your mother, but not from both, right? It's very strange. The first says it's either shared with your mother or with your father. Bat avicha o bat imecha. Doesn't say anything about if she's both bat avicha and bat imecha. And then we've got the second pasuk that says, Dafka, your sister, who is both your father's wife's daughter and your father's daughter, which means, boils down to, it's your maternal and paternal sister. So what happened, though? Because it says, Moledet Avicha, that's your father's own daughter with his own wife. So what's going on over here? Is it both, or is it only one of the other? It seems to be contradictory. So that's the next sugya that we want to understand. How do we define those two arayas? There's two sisters mentioned. Which one is the real sister? Or are there, in fact, two completely different dinim of sisters? And there would be two completely different karbanas that you would be involved in? And somebody would have to warn you off by giving you the correct hatra'ah for type sister one and type sister two? What does this mean? So, Tana Rabbanan, somebody sleeps with a sister who is the daughter of his father's wife. So meaning his father was married to this woman, and it's completely legitimate. And I don't know whether the person that it's talking to, I don't know whether he's from the same mother or not, but I know that he's sleeping with a sister who is a legitimate daughter of his father. That's all that I know so far. So if he does that, and she is the daughter of his father's wife, then he's going to be over on two completely separate issurim. One of them is the issur of sleeping with his sister, and one of them is sleeping with the daughter of his father's wife, who is his father's daughter. Whew. So say the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda says, what do you mean? There's only one issur there. You can only be mechayev him because she is your sister. There's no two different types of sisters, because when it says your father's wife's daughter, it stipulates only if it's your father's own induced child. So it's not a separate issur. Eino chayev ela mishum achoto bilvad velo mipnei bat eshet aviv. So let's see what the Rabbanan are thinking and what it is that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda counters. My tamayo de Rabbanan. So I want to say, look, there's a contradiction in a pasuk, okay? Michti. On the one hand, we've got the pasuk that says, Ervat achotcha bat avicha o bat imecha. So it doesn't matter whether it's married, not married, that lo tegale. So why does it need to say, Ervat bat eshet avicha moledet avicha achotcha hi? Why do I need that? To tell me that there's two separate chiyuvim. Shma min ala chayvo, either mishum achoto, and also mishum bat eshet aviv. So apparently there's two separate isurim, because otherwise, why would I have needed mentioning it? And therefore, if it was done b'shogeg, you would need two completely different korbonis, because we're talking about two completely different isuri koris. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, wait a minute, you didn't finish reading that pasuk. It says over there, achot chayi. It's only mishum achoto atamechayvo. You were only going to be mechayven because of one is called achotcha. Otherwise, what's the point of saying achotcha? Obviously, it's achotai. I understand. What am I, an idiot? You said it's It's my father's wife's daughter, who, when she was impregnated by my father. So, I mean, how could I avoid the implication that she's my sister? I mean, like, that's crazy. Unless it's coming to tell me, and don't make up any new Isurim. You're only going to be Chaya because she is your sister. That's the point. So Achotchai means Bishum Achoto Atamechayvo, the Iatamechayvo Mishum Bat Eshet Aviv. You can't give another Chiyav. And what do the Rabbanan say? Why does it say Achutchai, my Avdile? Because they say just the opposite. Achutchai is coming to be Marba, not to be Memayid. Because how do you know that a sister, an illegitimate sister, that is both the daughter of your mother and your father, meaning that your father sired two illegitimate children, one you and one your sister. So now she's related to you paternally and maternally. But the Torah only said one or the other. It said, Bat Avicha o Bat Imecha. And she is both Bat Avicha and Bat Imecha. So how do I know that I'm Chayev on that? That I learned from here. So you'll say, I don't need to learn it for this. I mean, you got to be pretty stupid to say that the Torah only mentioned if she's your sister from one or the other, but if she's your sister from both, go right ahead. That's crazy. Isn't it a Kal Vachomer? If she's your sister from one side, so Koshikane, if she's a sister from another side, that's the whole point. The reason that the Torah needed to say Achot Chayi was to teach me, don't try to tell me what's usher because it makes more sense to you. That's called Ein Mazirin Min Adin. That's not what the guy's going to say. Well, what is her am I doing? What do you mean? You're taking a woman who is Bat Avicha O Bat Imecha. No, I'm not. I'm taking a woman who's Bat Avi U Bat Imi. Yeah, but it's obvious. Maybe obvious to you. I don't know if it's obvious to me. And I don't know if it's obvious to the Lord. Therefore, it comes along the pasuk to say Ein Achinami. If the Torah didn't say it, then you wouldn't be able to be mazir from that, and we wouldn't be able to be mechayevim for that. That's the whole point, to teach you that the Torah has to tell you achotchai, even though it's both of them, and to teach me that ein mazirin min adin. And doesn't Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda ascribe to that? Yes, I do. But I still would like to know why it has to say achotchai. It could just say achotchai. Oh, and I would say, why mention Achotcha? Obviously, so I would know. Why does it have to say he? To tell me, this and only this is your issue. She is your sister. I don't give a hang what kind of sister she is. There's only one issue of sister. That's what it's coming to tell me, that he. And what do the Rabbanan say? And the Rabbanan, what do they say? They say, not so. Because if it would have just said Achotcha, even though it says Achotcha, it's Trichlu Mikhtav He, I still need the He to tell me that, look, maybe generally speaking, you are Mazirin Min Adin, you know? So why did the Torah have to say Achotcha? Because we often find that the Torah tells me something that I could have learned from a Kal Vachomer, and it repeats it anyway. But by saying He, you're telling me, it's only because of the fact that I am telling you that she is Achotcha, and only then that you could be Mechayev Achotcha Yi. And if I didn't tell you that, your Kal Vachomer is worthless. Therefore, it comes to say Yi Shelo Tomar Ba'ama Mazir Min Adin. So you'll say, but then why say Achotcha? That's because Milta Dati B'Kal Vachomer Torah V'Kasev Lakra. Therefore, Kasev Rachmana He, only He. So then how does Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda know that he means we can only be Mechayev you on one? Because Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda will say, because if that's the case, can you explain to me why of all insane things we wrote the Achotcha He in the wrong pasuk? Why are we writing it in this pasuk, which is the one where it's telling me the case where you were married and have both? You should tell me in the other pasuk. You should have written it before where we're talking about an illegitimate sister, where it doesn't talk anything about marriage. And that's where it's coming to tell me the Chiddush, where over there, that was the pasuk where it said either bat avicha or bat imecha, so then that's the pasuk that I need to know the additional akotcha, and that it's only he, because we're ignoring your kal v'chomer. What are we throwing it into the other pasuk for? So therefore, it's also coming to tell me that it is specifically for that and only that. You're only chayev once. So why, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, what is the point of saying that extra iser of a daughter of your father's wife, if anyway it would be a daughter of your father's rape victim? It would be exactly the same thing. So why mention it? It shouldn't be mentioned at all. No, that I need to know. That only if your father has, doesn't mean he's married to her. It means he could be married to her. But what about if she is a goya or she's a shivcha? So that's coming to tell me. Prat lachoto mishivcha, ve'ovedet kochavim, she'ein ishut lavicha ba. That in a case where your father cannot have any type of marriage, then she's not your sister and she's not included. And even though she may be, in terms of her genes, your sister, you're allowed to go and marry her because she's not related to you. She came through a non-ishus relationship. Well, I mean, how do you know that? Maybe it means came through a rape, where theoretically, I mean, we're talking about theoretically whether she could have. Maybe it means the actuality. Not only people who are excluded, but people who are not married. That we will discuss tomorrow.